follows, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." And this morning I'm going to teach from this subject, humility. Give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. And for a subtopic, I want to use these words: true humility by following the steps of Jesus. Now I want to ask you, before we pray and before we are seated, to repeat that after me. Everybody, humility. And for a subtopic, I want you to follow me: humility by following the steps of Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this great choir, this praise team, and we thank you for the young people. We thank you for this service thus far. And now, Lord, we come to the preaching and teaching of your word. We need your strength. We need your mercy. We need your grace. And Father, as we speak the words of God to your people, I pray that we'll receive the word and become the word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Humility. Incidentally, this message is really my life, and it's been my life for a long time. I remember when I first got saved, and I was working a minimum wages job, and I had about 4 to 5 kids, and I was concerned about how I'm going to take care of my family. Amen. Glory to God. And after I got saved, I was talking to God because they taught me to pray. So I started praying, and I was talking to God, and I was telling him my concerns. And God spoke to me, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, and that has always been my life. And, you know, we worked the ministry one time called Someone Cares Ministry. Well, I'm going to tell you where that came from. That just became my personality. Amen. And God began to talk to me. He said, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He spoke that to me in a voice that I heard and the scriptures that I saw. And that particular day, that verse became a part of my life, and it has been a part of my life from that day to this day. And so that's where that come from. Now, before I get into this message, I want to share a couple of things with you. I had a conversation with Chief Apostle probably about 4 to 5 months ago, and he was sharing with me. He said, "I want you to preach more than what you've been preaching." Amen. And he said it to me 3 times, and then I was asking some question. I'm like, if he's got to tell me something 3 times, that means he's trying to communicate something to me. So one day, Chief called me, and I'm just telling you my story, and then all of us are going to fit in with the message as we go through it. Chief called me one day about 4 or 5 months ago, and most of y'all may know that I preach more than I used to preach. Amen. And that don't mean I'm not going to hear these ministers, because I love to sit down and hear these brothers. So he called me, and he shared with me that the reason I wanted you to preach a little bit more than what you're preaching is that I want the people in Baton Rouge to know who I left in charge. Those words came from our chief apostle. Amen. I was talking to him about 2 weeks ago, and I just called him just to compliment the teaching and the preaching across the states on the Word Network, because I was so blessed by A Nation Divided. And I was just letting him know how proud I was of the message and thanking God for him. And all of a sudden, he began to compliment my life. And he made this statement. He said, "I want you to teach your people in Baton Rouge your humility." And so I'm just following his instructions. Amen. Because the Bible said, "Let another man praise you and not yourself." And so whatever I'm walking in, apparently it can be seen. And apparently it was seen by him that he would give me that task to teach people my humility. And that's why I gave you the origin of it and where my humility came from. And I give all the glory to God. Amen. As I begin to gather my thoughts regarding this word of God, God began to take me in the spirit. And he began to show me some things why this message was so important for this church. Hallelujah. And after he showed me those things by the Spirit, there was a couple of little incidents that came up to let me see that it is important that this message is shared. And it is important that people understand true humility. Glory to God. Philippians 2. And verse 7 says this: "But he made himself of no reputation." Jesus made himself of no reputation. And years ago when I saw that, I wanted to pattern my life after that. And to the best of my ability, I have tried to pattern my life in that manner. To make of himself of no reputation. To me, it don't matter if I have a reputation. To me, it don't matter if you think I'm somebody. All that matters is that I walk low before God. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, "But he made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." I remember when we left the building over there, I told all the people, and I had taught them humility. I had taught them what it means to humble yourself, because that was my life and that was my beginning in this thing. But before we left that building, I told everybody, drop your titles. Whatever title you had here, drop it. And we're going over there as servants. And some of you can testify that most of the people came as servants. Glory to God. And that's going to be my life for the rest of my life, because I pattern after Jesus Christ. But now in patterning yourself after the master, a lot of people don't really understand this approach. Hallelujah. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the planet. But if you study the life of Moses and you see the authority that he had with God, Moses was really one of the most powerful men on the planet. Hallelujah. Power and meekness, or meekness is just power under control. That's all it is. And many times when God give you power, give you authority, you got to understand how to harness it and keep it under control and remain a servant. And many times when you do that, some people ain't going to understand you. They're going to misunderstand that approach. If you study the life of Moses, they misunderstood him. His family many times misunderstood him, and God had to run to his rescue. Glory to God. I want to show you something today. I got 3 points, and I want to show you how important this message is on humility, because it's easy to say I'm humble. It's easy to say I'm going to walk humble before God. But what is humility? What is it? What does the Bible say about it? I got 3 points today. And in my 3 points, point number one is understanding humility. Point number two is the danger of pride and false humility. Number three, what it means to become as little children. This is the approach I want to take on humility. Now, most of the people here know that we have three pastors here, and we walk humble, and we get along excellent. We flow together. We're always on the same page, and we're going to stay like that. Glory to God. That's the way it's supposed to be, because the Bible said we all are brethren. But just because we flow as a unit, we're not trying to send a wrong signal as if you got three heads here. Come on, somebody. Because some people misunderstand that. The ministry gift's supposed to operate as one. Preachers supposed to be on the same page. And we are. But we are not trying to deceive anybody. Because what happens is, when saints look at this operation and they don't clearly understand humility, what happens is they go into their areas, departments, and they usually try to be like this with that leader. Now, let me tell you something. If you're working in any department in the church and you feel like you like this with your leader, I'm going to show you according to the scripture that's evil. I'm going to show you according to the scripture that's where Satan got in trouble. Hallelujah. God is a God of order. Hallelujah. You have God, the Father who created everything, and his Son, Jesus Christ, and his Spirit, and they flow together as one. They're always on the same page. Hallelujah. But God is the one that decides. Glory to God. And as I begin to meditate on this message, I begin to understand what the chief apostle was saying. Hallelujah. And I begin to understand the importance of teaching true humility. Because everybody needs to know what this really is. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to show you something. I want to take my time here. And as I was shown by the Spirit, this message is very, very important. Because if not, if we don't minister this, it's going to minister confusion to some people that's not viewing this thing spiritually. Hallelujah. And we're not trying to do that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Look at the Word of God. My first point is understanding humility. Understanding humility. Before I read that scripture, let me share this with you. To understand true humility, we need to understand the origin and the nature of pride. Let that sink in. To understand true humility, we need to understand the origin and the nature of pride. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Watch what he say. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now that word, that subject, when you go look at the Greek and you look at the definition in the Greek, here's what that word subject mean, because that don't mean that your boss got to submit to you. I don't mean that the choir director got to submit to you. And I'm not telling you that the choir director ain't supposed to have some humility, because the choir director is supposed to, and I'm just using examples. Hallelujah. That don't mean the head usher supposed to take dictates from people. But most of the people in the body of Christ misunderstand these terms when they want to have their way. That Bible said, yea, all of you be subject one to another. What does that word subject mean? It means to be under obedience. It means to put yourself under. So what he said, if you read the context of what Peter is talking about, Peter is saying, he started out saying he's an apostle. Then he said, I'm an elder. And he's speaking to the elders in the local church and every church. Then he turned around and say, now you younger, talking to those younger leaders that's coming up, I want you to submit to the elder leadership. Then he turned around and say, yea, all of you, everybody in the church, this is the word of God. Be subject one to another. Put yourself under obedience. Put yourself under authority. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. Don't let this just be a word. Let this be a life that people can see. Apparently, the chief apostle saw something that he would tell me to teach this. Hallelujah. Be clothed with humility. Why? God resists the proud. He's telling us right there, pride is the opposite of humility. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 8, verse 13. And I'm going somewhere, so follow with me just a few minutes. And I'm still on my first point. Understanding humility. And to understand humility, true humility, we need to understand the origin and the nature of pride. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, if you're looking at that, you notice there's a colon after evil. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you fear God, you hate evil. As a young Christian sitting in my home, concerned about my family, talking to God, and he told me, just humble yourself. And that became a part of my nature, that I would trust God for the rest of my life, for my family, for my life, for everything. I feared him. I respected him. But I began to learn that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, what is evil? Look at the first word after that colon. Pride. God hate pride. God hate pride. And I'm gonna show you why God hate pride so much. I'm gonna show you why he got a passion against pride. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What is evil? Pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and a forward mouth, I do hate. In fact, all of that's connected with pride. These are just tentacles of pride. And when I begin to learn that, as a young Christian, I decided that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to walk low before God. Because I understood that God hates pride. I don't want to be on the hate side of God. And I decided that years ago. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. These six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven is an abomination unto him. What are those things? A proud look. God not only hates pride, he hates you even looking proud. If you walk around trying to project to everybody who you are and I'm in charge, God hate that. Especially if you ain't in charge. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Keep in mind, God hates this stuff with a passion. Go to Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Hallelujah. It's evil to usurp authority when you haven't been given that authority. That's evil. It's evil to project to people you're the boss and you was never given to be the boss. Now, isn't it amazing? Let me just share this with you. Isn't it amazing that we know when you go on your job, you know you're not like that with your boss. You know that. You know ain't no organization in the world that's going to function properly like this. You know that. Isn't it amazing that if you go into a functional home, because some homes are not functional, but you go into, let's just talk about a home that is functional. You know that home is not to operate like that. You know that. Bible said God is the head of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the man. The husband is the head of his wife. It's always order. You know things don't function like this. Why would you come into church and do it? Why would you even get that mindset and bring it in God's kingdom? And you know nothing operates like that outside the kingdom. You know you ain't got no two heads, three heads. That's a freak. So we're not trying to deceive nobody. And I don't play church. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Hallelujah. To understand true humility, we need to understand the origin of and the nature of pride. Ezekiel 28, watch this. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. This is talking about Lucifer, who became Satan. And the Bible going to reveal to us how he became Satan. He made Satan. God made Lucifer. Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He was a bright fella. He was a created beautiful. He, Bible said, his pipes was in him. Scripture says that he perverted the sanctuaries, plural. He went in and out of sanctuaries. Corrupted all of it. Bible said, because of the multitude of your traffic, now violence has filled you. To the degree that he was great, now same degree you're evil. And all of that happened because thine heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. You thought too much of yourself. You got to watch that. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they that they may behold thee. Look at Isaiah 14, verse 13. Scripture, bear witness with scripture. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little. There a little. We're getting the history on this fella and what happened to him. First of all, he was lifted up in his heart because he's looking at how great he is. He's thinking now, and he's in his heart, he's deciding, my God, I'm greater than this one. I'm greater than that one. And God never assigned him that position. Isaiah 14, 13 through 15. For thou hast said, now he's thinking in his heart over here in Ezekiel. He's reasoning about his beauty, and he's lifted up. But Isaiah take us a little bit further and say, now he done begin to say something to himself. Begin to talk to yourself. I'm better than them. I know more than they know. Watch that, saints. For thou hast said in thine heart, watch this, I will ascend into heaven. This is what Lucifer did to cause him to become Satan. I will ascend into heaven. I will watch what he said now. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, watch this. People taught for years that Satan got kicked out because he tried to exalt himself above God. No, he didn't. That's not what the scripture say. The scripture said he decided he was going to exalt himself above the stars of God. And he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. He didn't say I'm going to be higher than the Most. He had enough sense to know that, notice he called God the Most High. He had enough sense to not say I'm going to be the Most High. I'm going to exalt myself above God. Ephesians tell us that God is able to do exceeding, abundant, above anything you ask or think. God has never made a creature that can think above him. Never. He's too great. So Satan couldn't think above God. So what he decided is, I'm going to exalt myself above the stars of God. Stars, S-T-A-R-S. And I think after last week's message, you know who the stars was referring to. The sons of God. Now there's a place in the scripture where Satan is called the son of the morning. He was called a son of the morning, not the son of God. That's two different things. The scripture said God has commanded the mornings since the days. God commanded him to give an account. And he was one of the archangels who had to give an account to God. And he was the primary one in his territory field of influence that had to give an account to God. So hence the scripture called him the son of the morning, not the son of God. Go check the scripture. Now, what was Satan's problem? I want to be better than the sons of God. That's his problem. Anytime we bring an attitude to God's kingdom and you want to be better than what was established, that's evil. And what you do is you tap into the nature of where pride started. And pride is the opposite of humility. And God has already declared, I hate pride. Why do God hate it? Every time he see it in a human, he refer back to what he saw in Lucifer. That's why he hated it so much. Every time a human get out of place, every time a human get out of order, every time we don't want to humble ourselves and submit, every time we rebel against authority, God revisit what Satan did. He sees Satan in you. That's why he hated. Let me show you something right fast. All right. Here's what I don't want to get ahead of myself. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Watch this. Watch this. I'm taking my time with this because what is true humility? You can say it like this. True humility is staying out of pride. Stay far away from pride. Walk low. Now, again, people are going to misinterpret that because people think when you walk low, you're weak. People think when you humble yourself, you don't know who you are. And that's sad because Jesus set the example, emptied himself of all reputation took upon him the form of a servant. So why, when we do that, we misunderstood? Hallelujah. Luke 12, verse 16, start at verse 16. Now watch this. And every time I put up a finger, I want you to, in your mind, just count. And because I'm getting ready to make a point. Because I want to show you pride. I want to show you the opposite of humility. And I want to show you why God hated when people get rebellious. I want you to know the nature of pride and why God resists you. So you'll always walk humble. We ought to have a church full of low people. Everybody in here ought to be lower than me. And I ain't going to let you beat me. Chief got me in this trouble. He told me to preach it. I do what he tell me to do. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Okay? Now watch this rich man. And he, I put up a finger now every time I emphasize something, I'm showing you, I'm making a point. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I will bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I think y'all getting the message. All I got to do is read these scriptures and get these scriptures are the definition of pride. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry. But God said, you fool. Let me tell you something. As the senior leader here in Baton Rouge, let me tell you something. And I'm just using illustrations. Don't nobody begin to think we ain't got no issues here. We flowing in harmony, but we're going to keep it like that. If somebody get in the choir and you think you equal with Melva, you think you equal with Jessica, read verse 20 again. I ain't going to say that because there's a scripture that said don't call your brother a fool, so I'm very reluctant by doing that, but I'll read the scripture. But God said, you fool, this night your soul going to be required of you. Why? Because of me, that's pride. And that's why God hate pride. And that's why he loved humility. And that's why we should walk low. And that's why I decided March the 5th, because that next day I start talking to God. March the 5th, I decided for the rest of my life, I'm going to walk low before God. That's what Chief saw. That's what everybody commenting on. I'm not praising myself. I don't have to. I don't have nothing to prove, and I don't have to come here and say, I talk to Chief four times a day and intimidate you. I don't have to do that. Because I talk to God four times a day. Now, if anybody think that, well, I talk to Chief five times a week, five times in the day, pride. You look just like this rich man. It's evil. And when a saint see a leader or a follower doing that, you need to identify that as evil and come tell me. Now, I'm not the sum total in this ministry. We have chief apostle who is the chief. He's not called chief for no reason. He's the chief in this entire ministry. And he's the chief executive over all the ministry. Bishop Kamuch is our district bishop. But Apostle Curtis Lewis has been set in place as the senior leader in this church. Under that order. And when it come time, I may walk low, but when it come time to implement that, you'll find out I ain't as low as you thought. Because I ain't scared. Clap your hands, saints, and praise Him. That's true humility. Humility is knowing who you are without trying to prove who you are. If I got to prove who I am, I ain't nobody. If I have to try to get up here to undermine these leaders, I ain't nothing. If somebody try to undermine me and my authority, they ain't nothing. If you try to undermine your leaders, you ain't nothing. It's evil. Now, I got the word behind me. I thought we all want to live the word. So if I'm preaching the word, say yes and amen. Satan got in trouble because he wanted to be, I don't want to be called no son of the morning. Let me tell you something. We have some guests here. I'm a real preacher now. We have some guests here with apostle on their name. Let me tell y'all something, saints. If an apostle got something to say about what was taught last week, he ain't no apostle. And you shouldn't listen to him. I knew in my spirit they didn't understand some of the things I preached about the morning star. And if they run to one of you all trying to tell you something different from that book, I'm supposed to stand up and rebuke that thing. No, you know what the truth is? You should stand up and rebuke it. Just because you wear a title apostle don't mean you know apostle. The title is not the issue. It's the influence. Just because you wear a title father don't mean you're a father. Just because you wear a title mother don't mean you're a good mother. Hallelujah. So, Satan's problem, he said, let's look at it again so you know I'm not just making this up. Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne. Apparently he had a throne. God is gracious enough to give him a throne. But you're not happy with the territory sphere of influence God has given you. You're not happy with what has been set in place. And anytime you're not happy where you are entering into an evil thing called pride. And you equal with satanic powers. And that thing corrupt the saints. If you ever hear me trying to undermine Bishop Kamuch, our chief apostle, you need to tell too. You ain't going to hear that from me because I know better. But it flows all the way down to the ushers, to the choir, to the dope keeper. And messages like this got to be taught, got to be dealt with, and then keep mess out your church. And on my watch, it ain't going to be no mess. And we don't have none. Clap your hands and praise the Lord. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend in the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend in the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. He never said I would be exalt myself against the Most High. He had better sense than that. He couldn't. God don't make a creature that can even think beyond him. He said his problem was he didn't like the authorities of the sons. Now watch this. Just to show you. just to show you something. God has never referred to the angels as his sons. Isaiah 14 verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Right here he called him son of the morning. And if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the apostles or somebody made an issue with that to one of the saints. That's why I got to get up and deal with it, because God showed this to me in the spirit and then began to confirm it to me. I ain't going to let nothing come in here and destroy this flock. Oh, no, no. I really got my life on the line here. And so they went to the scripture and said, Satan is the son of the morning. Son of the morning don't mean son of God. Fact, that's what made him jealous. Because he got jealous in being called the son of the morning. I want to be a son of God. Don't you get jealous in the fact that I serve under the usher. I want to be the head usher. Anytime you, there ain't no problems in the ushers. Don't nobody look around. I'm just teaching. Somebody say he's just teaching. I just use the ushers as an example. But in every department in the church, in the pulpit, that same principle applies. And anytime you tap into that mind, you've tapped into Satan, and God hates it. God sees Satan. He sees Satan. Satan just rose up in you in a thought, and you didn't even know it. You better humble yourself. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? Hebrews 2, verse 6 and 7. Watch this. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him?" Watch what the scriptures say. Thou made it him a little lower than the angels. Go search that Hebrew word good. That word means Elohim. He made man a little lower than Elohim. That's a plural word for God Almighty. He made him a little lower than the angels and crowned. Now, well, I don't want to go there, but and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thine hand, man. Now watch this, Hebrews 1, verse 5 and 6. For unto which of the angels, I'm talking about angels now. Satan was an angel. He's a fallen angel. Unto which of the angels said he at any time? When did he ever tell an angel this? Thou art my son. When? He never told an angel, you're my son. You got my nature. You birthed. But that's his purpose for man. So that's the nature of Satan's jealousy. He wanted to get out of his lane. Anytime you get out of your lane, you just tapped into Satan, and that's pride. And that's not humility. And the Bible said, humble yourself. The Bible said, be clothed with humility. Why? God resists the proud. The very time you even think that, God just start resisting you. Now, let me tell you what happened to Satan. That's the origin of sin, origin of pride in Lucifer. When he fell for that me, my, I exalt my throne, that's pride. When he fell and when he came into that garden and began to deal with Adam, you know what he did? He some kind of way got in there and planted the seed of pride in the whole human race through Adam. And that's why the scriptures say, except you deny self, me, my bonds, my riches, my plenty, except you deny yourself, you're walking in pride. So humility is emptying yourself of yourself. Walking low. We're going to forever walk low. I ain't going to never disrespect neither one of these men. I will serve them. But don't you misunderstand that. Because if they misunderstand what we're doing, they're going to get out there and create problems in their departments. And if we don't address it, we're responsible. No, we're a threefold cord, heart can't be broken. We're brothers and we love each other and we're going to flow as one. But we understand order too. And it needs to be understood in the congregation. Without anybody taking any flexing their muscles. No, if anybody flexing, you're in Satan. You're of Satan. Power, authority and power is, humility is power under control. You ain't going to see me running around here flexing no muscles who I am. That's stupidity. It's satanic and it's weak. But don't take what we're doing as a weakness because it's not. Come on, preacher. You give the preacher a good hand. Because a lot of people don't truly understand the nature and the origin of pride. And they don't understand why God hate pride and why he demand that you walk humble. Yes, folks, if you don't walk humble, he said, all of you be clothed with humility. Be submitted one to another. Put yourself under obedience. If Sister Maria come to me and she's speaking the word, I don't care what position I hold. I'm going to submit to that word she spoke. That's humility. Oh, I say, I'm Apostle Lewis. I'm an apostle on the way to hell. I don't submit to that counsel if it's God talking. That's what get people in trouble. And Satan is the master. He planted that seed of pride in the human race. And that's why God say, deny yourself. Resist flesh. Walk humble. That's why. Because if you don't, you'll never realize that that seed got in the human race. You got to lose your life. And if you don't, you'll never find your life. Clap and praise him, saints. Now, let me get out of this first part. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. Watch this. It says, and you hath he quickened, talking about those who was made alive by the Holy Ghost, we've been born again. You hath he quickened who were used to be dead and trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of Satan. That's all he's talking about. We walked according to that course. I was led by that spirit. And it says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Everybody that's disobedient got this spirit influencing them. This is an evil influence that gets in the mind and the heart of disobedient people. I promise you, if you are disobedient to authority in any way, that spirit will get with you. The Bible says it. That's why he said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself to the form of lust and your ignorance. It's important to be obedient. Now, I'm just about done, believe it or not. Let me tell you something. Let me show you what Chief said, teach your people your humility, okay? Teach the people. All right, and that's all I'm doing, all right? Let me give you an example of humility. I was over there in that building. I was on 10 different radio stations. I took all that money. I could have bought that building. I could have bought me and my wife a nice house. We living in an apartment and happy. Amen. But I could have did a lot of things with all the money that came through my hand. I chose to teach people the truth because I heard so many preachers lying to folks. And that's how I met up with Chief. And I have been in big ministries. Big don't impress me. Big God impressed me. That's what impressed me about Refuge Temple. Because I've been offered big before. I done been offered to be an evangelist or an international evangelist on salary. I keep that stuff because you ain't right and I ain't going to preach no lie. So I went in that little building over there, 40, 50 people, maybe 60. That was good enough for me because I had 10 radio stations. If I wanted to be great, all I had to do is give some time. And I was the chief executive in that building over the people's lives. I didn't have nobody over me but God. I took those people and myself and submitted myself to Bishop Camuch and Chief Apostle. That's submission. I didn't have to do that. I could have stayed over there and called all the shots. But I understood submission. Can you take all your smarts, everything you are, and submit to your leader? If you can't, you're full of pride. Now, I pointed this way, but I ain't talking about you, because you're full of humility. That's an example of humility. And I'm called upon to teach it because it really needs to be understood. Submission is willingly emptying yourself. I willingly emptied myself and put myself under authority. That's what you have to do. And if you don't do that, God will resist you. Because everybody needs somebody over them. Clap your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Point number two. I'm going to go through this one quickly. Hallelujah. Point number two, the danger of pride and false humility. Proverbs 11:2 says this, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Here's the danger of pride. You will be made ashamed. You're going to be brought to shame. If you don't repent before it's over, and especially when God began to break it down and explain this thing to you, if you don't empty yourself of pride in every area of your life, you are on the way to be made ashamed. Because the word of God is true. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Ask Satan. Proverbs 16, verse 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction. Second thing, when you walk in pride and you refuse to humble yourself, destruction is sure to come. It's on the way. You are going to shipwreck. You are going to destroy yourself. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Third thing, you're going to fall. If you don't repent and you don't get it right and walk in humility and walk lowly before God, empty yourself of yourself. Jesus made of himself of no reputation. Forget about your reputation. If you don't do this, you're heading for a fall. Hallelujah. Verse 19 said, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. He's telling you that humility is just being low. But when a person walk low, you can't think low. Don't get it. You can't think low of that person. Don't get it. You prove you the one that don't get it. Hallelujah. All right, Isaiah 14, verse 15 and 16. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. This is what happened to Satan when he elevated himself, when he got out. Do you know, here's what the Bible said. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Listen to this closely. God has set the members in the church as it pleased him. If God set the members in the church as it pleased him, why would it please you to exalt yourself above what God has set? If God set the choir, if God set the praise team, if God set the usher, if God set the finance team, what gives you the right? That's evil. And you're going to be brought down to hell if you don't get that right. That's why this mess. When God, when Chief said, teach your people humility. And after that, then I started getting together my thought. God took me in the spirit and showed me three incidents. It don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it. That ain't your business. But he showed me the seriousness of teaching this so that our people will understand this threefold card. We're not trying to play games and fool nobody. Yeah, there's one person left in charge under authority. I'm in authority, but I'm under authority. And I got sense enough to know that. Yet you shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. You're going to the pit. You don't get this right. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. Now watch this. The Bible said that has come at a time, and even now, I narrowly look upon Satan. I can't see him with my physical eye, but I know what the scriptures say he is, and I narrowly look upon him. But one day we'll be able to see him in the pit, and people are going to narrowly look upon him. But, you know, here's the thing. You ought to narrowly look upon anybody that undermine authority. Because that person is working witchcraft. Because witchcraft, the sin of disobedience and rebellion is equal to witchcraft. If the leader say something and somebody try to undermine it, that's witchcraft. And you need to know that's witchcraft, and you need to look narrowly on it. Point three, what it means to become little children. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's why I'm glad I emptied this foolishness out of me when I was just born again. And someone cares was a part of my life. That's my nature. That's who I am. And wherever I go, I take it. He cared for me. He cared for his people. And he told me to humble himself. That was not just some ministry we was doing. That is my life. And I'm now at Refuge Temple, honoring Refuge Temple with my life. Because he said, who's going to be the greatest? That is a foolish thought. That is foolish to try to project to people you're greater than somebody else when you're not. Foolish. And Jesus called the little child. That's why I'm glad these kids sang today. That blessed my heart when my wife sang that song. We need to remember what it means to be a little child. And that's not an insult, because I know you're intelligent and know everything and all of that. Bag of chips. But you better humble yourself. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, talking to these guys that's going to be apostles. He said, I say unto you, hallelujah, verily I say unto you, except you be converted. See, if you think like that, you're not converted. But you better be converted and think right. Except you be converted and become as a little child, as little children. Watch what Jesus said. This stuck with me for years. You shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. I knew that if I didn't do this, and I didn't live my life like this, I'm going to hell. I knew that. I settled that. Some people don't believe you can go to hell for walking in pride. You on the way to hell. Now, I'm telling you the truth now. I don't want you to go to hell. I'm praying you don't go to hell. I hope this message convicts you enough to say, look, let me judge myself. But I judged myself, and I'm on constant. I like what Pastor Mo said, and I adopted this. I keep a microscope on Curtis Lewis. But then even my microscope sometimes not good enough. That's why if they say something, I know they're right. Man, I'm going to humble myself. I need these guys. Man, I need you, Paul. Man, I'm trying to get to heaven. Glory to God. And when you get that in your heart, I'm going to heaven. I love what Jeremy said this morning. Jeremy said, man, I want to be saved. Because I was complimenting him how he take rebuke. And he's standing up and he said, man, yeah, you take everything from me. I want to get to heaven. I like that. I want to get to heaven. That's the attitude all saints supposed to have. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest. God said, this is the great person, the one that walk low. This is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receive me. Now, if you see a person empty themselves of all their reputation, always serving everybody, always walking low, that don't mean they weak. Heaven don't think they weak. Heaven said, this is the great one. But humanity say, oh, I'm greater than him. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You're a saint. Here's the true test of a saint. Be a follower of God as a dear child. Follow him like a child. I don't care how old you are. Follow him like a child. Philippians 2, verse 3, down to verse 8, and then I'm about done here. Hallelujah. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. You have to have a low mind. A low mind is a high mind in God and in the kingdom. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That's what I strive to do. Now, if I have failed, I'm going to do better. I strive to make you better than me. And that's what every one of us should strive to do. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's what all of us are supposed to be doing. Let this mind, this is the mind that was in Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. This is the mind that was in our Lord. Who being in the form of God, he was in the form of God. He could have thought himself equal with God, had every right, but made of himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Because if I don't do this, that snake that showed up in eternity past in Satan, when he said, I'm going to exalt myself above the stars of God, shows up again in human beings. And whenever God see that snake in a human, he react the same way he reacted in eternity past. I hate it. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Last verse. Singers and musicians, you really can come on, if you don't mind. Last verse, Luke 22, verse 24 through 26. And there was also a strife among them, among these guys. That's why those apostles were so successful. They respected each other. They loved each other. They understood order. They functioned as a team. They all spoke the same thing. I'm going to tell you something. When you study the scriptures, you know, Peter was one of the messed up. He was more messed up than all of them. And God appointed him the keys. He was the primary leader. And he had the leadership to the Jewish Reformation. Paul had the leadership to the Gentile Reformation. Now, James, Jesus' half-brother, later on got saved. The parent is evidence in the scripture. James was made the pastor of the Jerusalem church and later was called an apostle. Do you not know those apostles had to appoint him? Jesus didn't just go around Peter just because that was his brother. Those apostles appointed that man. And James pastored that church with those apostles sitting right there in there. And all of those apostles who walked with Jesus, there was one with James. That's unity. That's emptying yourself. But when it came time for final decisions, they knew who had the keys. That's unity. And that's the way we got to walk with each other. We got to walk so soft that we never violate this thing of called humility. Because when God see pride, he see a snake. Don't have no snake in your thinking. That Bible said, watch this. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority up on them are called benefactors. You know how on some of these jobs, these people, you know, like on my job, you know, when the big boys come in, everybody cleaning up. I'm like, why you don't clean when they ain't here? I don't get that. I'm serious. You fake it to me. They clean it because a big boy's coming in. The big boys come in and they come in and exercise lordship over everybody. Then they got some bigger ones over them come in and exercise lord. God said, don't have that stuff among y'all. Don't have that. Let me, Pastor Mo, come on, close us out in prayer. But we're going to give an altar call. But let me tell you what Jesus said. Be ye, but ye shall not be so. Y'all hear this command? Jesus said, this shall not be. If we're going to walk in the word, we ain't going to never let this be among us based on these scriptures. We're going to open the doors of the church for prayer. If you need prayer, you need to empty yourself. You need to be saved. Come up here calling on the name of Jesus. Don't wait for us to pray. Don't sit there. Call on him if you need him. Come on up, Pastor Mark.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, man, that was powerful. Come on, man. I mean, you know, and I'm just sitting there listening to that because that's where I live at. I mean, that's where I live at, man. I mean, and I just see that and seeing people, they see the way this Baton Rouge church is just flowing. Now, let me.